when talking about yutes, yutes, harachas, shekarim, appeal, harachas, which is called appeal, which is in fact the English word for also appeal,
appeal.
Well, pay alef amid hey. Well, that's how you put it in English. It's pronounced appeal, okay, which is the thing that you. The best example is what you take the pizza out of the oven with, okay, that long spatula kind of thing. Okay, that's a rachas. Yesh ayim rishen moel v'hagola. There are those who hold that you can't sell gola for, but it's chadash, you have to buy a new one. Meaning, there are those who hold that you can't do hagola to it, but you have to kash it with libun. Since you have to kash it with libun, it's made out of wood, obviously you can't do libun to wood, so therefore you're stuck, and you have to buy a new one. So what is the mechaber saying? So in the Beis Yosef says there are two opinions. One which is says it needs libun. One says that you could kasher with agol, and he seemingly is going towards the tav lachmir that you need to do libun. What would be the reason why anybody would think it would need libun? Well, how are the rules? Why would you think it should not need libun? Because the rules are that you know you take something's on the fire, and dry food that's on there, you need libun. So why not? Let's eat like this thing. Take pizza. Let's use the example moment of the peel. We use it. You take pizza out of it. Why would the pizza, this thing, not need libun? What would be the tzad to think that it doesn't need it? So the El Yerab explains this. He says, when, if you think about it, if the pizza was on this peel when it was out of the oven, that wouldn't make the thing need libun, because one of the rules is to need libun has to be on the fire. It has to have the blue on the fire in order to require libun, otherwise you get away with hagol. So what's the time that you're, that, what is it about it that makes it need libun? Is there's a second when it's in the oven, when it's in the oven and it's on this peel at the same time. So for that second, he says, remember, he says libun, you do libun because the way the person is blewing in so deeply that it's hard to get it out. You have to do libun to get it out. He says, so if you just get a second to have a blia, that's not enough time to get such a deep blia to go in. Okay, now we're using words that we don't really understand, but whatever that means, the blia to go in so far that has to come out with libun, the people who hold that you could be mekon do hagol is because usually this thing is not on the fire. It's usually off the fire. You know, for a second it's on the fire, so therefore it's not enough time to make a deep blia. That's the reason why the person holds that those who hold, Mishnah brings some hold the tzakula, and in fact, El Yerabah says that when the Mechaber says that you have to do libun, yesh amin that you can't do hagola, he only means lechatchila. But b'dieved, if you would have done hagola and you used the kli, b'dieved the kli would be mutter. Okay? Now, if you read the Mechaber, you wouldn't think like that. The Mechaber says you have to buy a new one, because that sounds like pretty b'dieved, you have to buy a new one. Especially, we'll see more about that in a second, but that says El Yerabah learns that you only have to, it's only doing lechatchila. Okay? This thing that the El Yerabah says that it's only lechatchila, the Prima Gaon says it's really machlokes. If you looked at this din, I don't know, in a year, I don't think I would have ever noticed this machlokes. But the Prima Gaon says machlokes like this. There's some kind of a shaila. I don't understand the question. What happens if you have, should you kasher your leftover pesedika peel from 1 year for the next year? I don't understand why that's a shaila. I don't understand, but I'm missing something. Why should you think you have to kasher? You don't think you have to kasher your Pesach silverware for next Pesach. But so I have a feeling that it has to do with choshesh, that there was dough left on it as you put stuff in and out. So maybe you got a piece that got stuck onto it and attacked you for the whole year. I don't exactly understand. And it was Nischamitz. It was Nischamitz.
So you should have to kasher the Pesach also.
The shaila is not the point. But the answer of the shaila is like this. The Taz says, don't you dare do hagolah to it. He says, because then people will think that if you do hagolah to this thing, they'll think that's how you kasher these things. So when they have one that's really chum, they'll kasher it also. So you're better off not being choshesh for whatever reason there is to think you should kasher it. You know, rather, don't be machmir and try to kasher it. You're better off not kashering it, because or else you'll mislead people to think that you can kasher it with hagolah. And then Magen Avraham says, no, you should hagolah to it. That's what you should do.
Otherwise, you got a new one.
So you should know. You better not catch one of the tazes. Just leave it. It's fine. It was good for the other days. Good for this day. Right. I have some kind of a chash. I don't understand the chash. Some kind of a chash. Right. Don't worry about that. It's just worth it to not catch it, or you'll mislead people. And the Magen Avraham says, no. It's not an advantage to do it. So the Prima Gaon says they're arguing whether the b'dieved hagolah would work. According to the Taz, Even the Bidyevet Hagol doesn't work on a peel. So he's afraid if you'll do Hagol to it, you'll mislead people, and they'll think that you could do Hagol to it. According to the Magen Avraham, so if they'll do Hagol, it won't be the end of the world anyhow. So it's worth it to get the advantage of whatever chash you're being conscious for, and if someone will say, Asma, who cares? So he'll do Hagol, so Hagol is not the end of the world either. Okay, so I would have never seen that as a machoket like that, but that's the Prima Gozim words that they're arguing about. That Prima Gozim actually thinks that the Taz is right, that even Bidyevet doesn't work. So if we're putting our names over here, the Taz and the Prima Gozim are saying, when the Mechaber says, Yesh Amishay Moila Hagol, he means it's even Bidyevet. You can't do Hagol to it. And the Magen Avraham and the El Yerabah are saying that you can't, that the Bidyevet would be Mutter. And the Mishabur says, Lukula. Mishabur, if you look at it, it says, these words of the Mechaber are only Lachumra, but only Lachatchila. But Bidyevet would be Mutter. Okay? Which is, I don't think it's a simple way to read it, that simply to read the Mechaber. They're arguing with what the Mechaber holds, and the Mishabur says, Taskins like the El Yerabah and the Magen Avraham, that you could be making. Okay, now, I gave one example with a pizza, a spatula in your hat. Okay, well, I'll leave that in a second. We'll get to that in a second. It's a different question first. What happens if you have a matzah bakery? Okay, at least in my picture of a matzah bakery, the oven is very deep. This is my picture in my head of it. It has a very deep oven with a fire all the way in the back someplace, and then the matzahs are going in deep into an oven to be baked. Which means is that you, in order to get the matzah in and out, the stick, the marga that you use for that to get it in and out, sits in there for, it's hard to call this a long time, but sits in there for a relatively long time. In other words, in our case, let's say you think about turning over pancakes. Okay, so then your spatula touches the pancake on the fire for a second. How long can the spatula sit over the fire and a pancake at the same time? It's not just for a second. So then you could see what Dr. Robert says, that it's such a short time, maybe somehow the blade wouldn't go in. But what happens when you get to in my mind, in a matzah bakery, the stick sits here for a couple seconds going in and a couple seconds going out. So, of course, we'll get to matzahs in a second, but we're assuming that they're not chametz. So then, over there, maybe there's no one who would be maker. Over there, where it sits there it's hard to call this a long time, but a relatively long time, maybe that's different. Maybe that's more the chumra, and that no one would think it's mutter b'yevet. Okay, that's just a clear, I don't know. Okay, now, this din of a rachas, I'm using the wrong word, this din of a rachas, is also in your day a completely different context, but the same idea, which is, and people who catch this break rise have heard this din, which is, the Mechaber says, it used to be that the bakeries were owned by goyim, and the people in town need to eat bread. And so in order to eat bread, this is in Kufchas, in order to eat bread, you had to go to the Goyish bakery. Well, the Goyim weren't willing to have separate margas. They weren't willing to buy extra margas for the Jews. You want to use my bakery to get on you. You have to follow you have to do it my way. So the Shaila was, are they allowed to use the Goyim? I guess that the margas were used for trape also. Well, they used things in this baker's oven for trape also. So the din is that since people desperately need to eat bread, it's such a staple. Therefore, as long as the goy's marza is eini ben yomer, you're allowed to use it for kosher. Meaning, it's clear that eini ben yomer min hadin is really mutter. So the makom din rabbanan to not use it eini ben yomer because you have to, because it's so important to eat bread and it's such a staple. And therefore, you're allowed to eat min eini ben yomer without kosher. Okay. And of course, which is part of our thing, you can't kasher. It's wood, and it can't have leaves into it. You can't do any realistic kashering system, so you're allowed to use any bigger memory without kashering.
Presumably, the oven was also a problem, or they did kasher the oven?
I don't remember. I think the oven is easier to kasher. As part of starting it up, it's not easy, but it's a lot easier than trying to kasher. You can't kasher. The wood is hopeless, so you can't do it. If you start it up right, you can kasher it, as opposed to the wood, it's hopeless. Okay, so this din of Amarga, this is an example, has been used in a couple of situations, modern situations, and the most famous of which is spray dryers, that 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when people first came across spray dryers, and do a big shilas as to whether it needs Liban or Hagala, and big shilas even had to do Hagala altogether, if it's possible, is there anything to do about it? So at that time they said, look, spray dryers play such an important role in industry, if we say we can't catch the spray dryers, then we're not cutting off bread from people, we're cutting such a tremendous range of foods that they'll be impossible for people to eat. It'd be as if not giving the people, in times of Shulchan Aruch, giving them bread, as if. And therefore, they said, if the kli is any ben yomim, we'll try the kasher, but we don't know if it needs legal, so we'll do nothing. And even hagala, we may not be doing a great hagala anyhow. So, but as long as it's any ben yomim, then we have no choice and we could use it. That was a decision made many years ago. Based on this din of marta, that's what their example was of this din of marta. We talked about this back by spirit artists, and we said then also there's a question of that. Nowadays, that it's, we have a better understanding as to which ones need leave and which one needs hagala. So we could limit and say, well, only kashrut ones that need hagala. And second of all is that we had to do hagala. There are people who can actually do it. Not everybody does it. There are people who can actually pull off a real hagala with rice in the way it's supposed to be. So then it's worth re-asking the question is, so could that, or should we still be son of, as long as it's any ben yomer, it's a mar, then it's mother. In fact, we asked that question right back to Radowski, who had said the cool in the first place, and he said, yeah, we're still working on it, and it's still not there, we're still not all the way there, so we could still be making. But it's just worth bearing in mind that the people who are just saying, oh, it'll be any ben yomer, and I'll try to pretend it's, I'm passing it, are being son of us, and that as time goes on, it's becoming less and less defensible of that such a position. Okay. And then there's another example where Marda has been invoked, okay, which is when you bring products across the ocean, they go on these huge ships in tremendous holds, you know, these ships that have, each that has the holds that are huge, like the size of a gym, okay, and there are lots of travels about how those, that those holds may hold chafe in them also. There are many questions about it. One of the questions is that the hold itself may have yesterday been holding some chafe. Yes, it may, in the past it held some chafe. And the rule in the industry is that as the rule in the kosher industry is that as long as the last three loads were kosher, then you don't have to worry about what was there before you. Okay? As long as the last three loads, today was vegetable and yesterday was gasoline, before it was shoe polish, and the day before it was another vegetable oil, then it's kosher. We don't care what was before that. And the question, and
is it crude oil?
It could be all different levels. All kinds of food items. And the silence
will... Nobody's finding out that it was... Before it was already processed, that it was processed on kosher equipment, right?
No. See, the thing that comes from the Far East, where they don't have any trash. The people who are in the Far... Either comes from Hashkacha from the Far East, you know, the people in the Far East are giving Hashkacha to it, or it's coming that a lot of those countries in the Far East, for religious reasons, don't process any animal products like that. And they're all, it's just all, they're just doing palm oil. That's all they do, just from morning to night. So there isn't anybody who could give a good justification for why three loads should make it enough. Okay, there were people who had ideas about, we'll get to that later, why that's not true, but all kinds of ideas. And the best answer to that question is that, I believe the best answer to the question is that between one product and the next, usually there's a full ain't it been yomer between one product and the next. Okay? It just has to do with technicalities of where they wash it and how they load and unload, all kinds of that. Usually it's ain't it been yomer. So if you have three loads with kosher, that means that you had a bunch of chances to be ain't it been yomer between all those things. So let's even four loads go astray, we had enough chances. So in this was invoked the idea is that, look, it is ain't it been yomer, and by now we're comfortable that it's ain't it been yomer, and therefore we could say is we know it's ain't it been yomer, so it's so important to be able to have vegetable or come to the United States and all kinds of related products that come, that we could say as long as it's ain't it been yomer, it's good enough. Okay,
this is hot stuff.
Yes, much of this stuff comes hot. So that was another case where we use this rule sort of like got invoked to say we could, even though usually you have to cash it, we could get away without that. There are other times which I'm not going to talk about, which is other.
Is that what they are relying on? What's currently being relied on
for the Shiloh, whether the hold itself is kosher. They say if the last three loads are kosher, it's good. Even though there are ways to kosher those holds, but they don't insist on that. They don't feel that they can insist on that. So they say
it's not hot. It's 24 hours, right?
Right. So Kavush is less serious because again, it'll be in the binyamin by time. Good. Okay. But well, again, so then we're saying the same thing. But it's, so they say if three loads were kosher. Now the three didn't come from no place. It's that's the when you load something into a ship, the surveyor reports what the last three loads were. That's part of the official reporting. For the company wants to know what was in there and it was clean. They have all their own reasons, but they want to know what was in there. So they said, "Oh, we'll follow that rule." Also, we'll follow. And the best explanation that I've been able to dig up for what that is because that will guarantee that it's in the binyamin. Because each time between loads is probably in the binyamin, probably. But between three, you know, I mean, we could just assume at that point that it's in the binyamin. Okay, so that was invoked over to say, "Look, as in the binyamin, that's good enough." Okay, now there are two other titles that in this regard, more serious, which we're not going to talk about. I'll just throw them out. One is that even if the hold itself has been kosher forever, or for three loads, but what about what's in the next hold? Okay, the hold that's adjacent, they share walls. In most cases, they share walls. So this right here could be kosher, and adjacent to it could be something trade. That's the second question. And then the third question is, even if the adjacent one is not trade, but the way they heat these holds is through steam. So five holds away could be trafe, and the steam system is becoming trafe. Right. The boat steam system is becoming trafe. As it heats up this, the water goes back and then comes to heat this one again. Okay, so those other chapters, we're not going to talk about them. Those, and they don't have Marda there. Marda is not going to help for those cases. But let's just put that on top. Just what's wrong with that? Okay, and lastly, is that when you use this thing Marda, you have to, of course, in perspective, is that there we were talking about bread. The Din Shulchan Aruch says that people wouldn't have bread. We're talking here that people won't have vegetable. We're talking about serious or spray dryers. They wouldn't have all spray dry products. We're talking about things that are of huge consequence to people, and therefore you could say is as long as it's Hanif Ben Yomer, you could be Mekel. That's within reason. The opposite extreme is they didn't try Mardo here. They tried a different cooler, which is where the people should have chocolate that's parav to kasher improperly in order to make your chocolate. Your power of a chocolate should really be power of not to consider dairy. It was like Rabbi Shachter was like, come on, like, is this really so? This is the whole world is hanging on that we should be able to eat power of our chocolate and inflation of a meal. This is not the end of the world. You know what I mean? So you have to remember that you can't say anytime you want to. Oh, no, okay, no problem. They've been younger. It's so important. It's not so important. Okay. Now the Mishnah Berurah talks about at the end of the day.
What if you had a kasher for a staple? Kasher for a staple. And the next one.
Okay. Okay, the Magen Avraham talks about, and it's in the Mishnah Berurah, as to what happens if you by mistake use a chametz tikka marza for Pesach. Okay, the whole deal.
Marza
mem reish dalet hey. On here, it's a peel. It's the thing like you take pizza out of the oven with. Okay, it's an English word.
Okay.
That's like spatula kind of thing that you take it after. Okay, so the he talks about what do you do if you by mistake use the chametz tikka one for your Pesach food. Okay, and then he says. There are people who question. He says, maybe we have a different problem. You worried about a chametzik one. He says, but every time you take matzah out of the oven, maybe it's going to be a kfula, maybe it'll be an afucha, and same cane, you won't eat that. So if you're not going to eat that, so then you might as well just became a chametzik. So the Magen Avraham says, basically, the guy's getting a little carried away. He says, nefucha and kfula is command impossible to really be chametzik. It's like loads and loads of chumras to be machmer on those things, but we don't eat. He says, and the other extreme is, if you're being chashish for that, then so you have to realize, you don't realize that it's an afucha the minute you take it out, because it has to cool down, and then someone looks at it to see what it is. He says, so what's going to happen is, he says, every time you take the matzah out, you have to get a new stick. He says, because every time you take it out, oh, maybe that one was a kfula, I've got to throw the stick out and try again. He says, so it's mishnah. So he says, you're going to be so machmir on something which is such a small child in the first place. Okay, so he says, like, ridiculous, and you don't have, the mishnah brings it, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be chayshus, if it's a kfula and afucha, don't worry about it. Okay, it's just interesting that nowadays, because of the wealth of where we live in, or maybe because of things that are disposable, there are places that, in fact, use a new stick every single matzah. There are places, I didn't say this is normal, every single matzah, and then there's the compromised people who don't use a new one, but they have a paper on top of the stick, a paper that goes on top of it, and they change the paper every time. That's like a compromise.
I had that job.
That was you got to change the paper?
It wasn't on the stick, they took it out of the oven. But if they get it out of the oven, they would lay it over on a stick.
Yeah.
Sticks on a rack, and they'd lay the thing over to sit there.
Yeah.
My job is to repaper the stick.
Anyhow, so what the Magen Avraham says is Meshuggah. You should know that there are people nowadays who do it. It has to do with our how wealthy we are and how easy these things are to make disposed.
That's why the price is shmurma.
Maybe. No, I mean, that's a broomstick. A broomstick. Literally, everyone comes out on a new stick.
There's 20, 30 months in the oven at the same time. So, I mean,
if you do it right, of course, if you want to really go overboard, like the Magen Avraham says you shouldn't, then you do it for every matzah, every time you take it out. Because maybe that one was a cool.
Every separate matzah comes out.
Well, no, well, the compromise is to put a paper on. Is they put a new paper on for each one.
Okay. Every single matzah?
Or each group. Each comes out two or three at a time. Maybe
each group.
Okay. Now, let's go find it again. Next halacha. Okay, the next one is short. Hashulchanos, vahatevas, shematzim, and oichon kalashana, the tables, or the boxes, like the pantry that you put food into them the whole year, and means that you put hot food into them. Regilim la'aras aleim moishim. The minig is that you should put onto them hot water to do irur onto it. There are times that the soup spills out of the pot. So you have a counter or a table, and you put a pot down onto it, so there's no bleeds from the pot to the counter because there's no liquid to help make the pan go from one to the other. But things sometimes spill onto there. These are things that have hot food in and out of them all the time, so therefore there's a minute to do irud on those things that bash them, okay, which is reasonably common. What people do, they do irud. So the Darkei Moshe at the end of Tufnun Beis says, you see from the Mechaber that if you do irud to it, you're fine. Then you could use it. But, you know, you could kasher and then you could use it. He says, but you should know there's a minig, the Maril has a minig, that says that you should not kasher these things because these things have all kinds of bumps and cracks and scratches in them, and therefore you should always cover them for Pesach. So the document says, you know, but if you look at the Mechaber, he says, look at the Pesach, but you look at the Mechaber, you'll see that it doesn't look like that. It seems like you just have to kasher. Once you kasher them, you're finished. Okay? So that's what he says. The Magen Avraham, but takes sense of Maril's minig, and he says it's correct that you do have to cover these things because there's a problem that there might be food stuck on these things that have food traffic in and out, and you're going to put taste the food onto it, so you're supposed to cover them and you're not supposed to kasher them. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah makes a compromise here, and in Tufnun Beis makes a compromise, and he says if your counter is very, or your table is very smooth, and like this, and there's no chashash that there's going to be any thing stuck onto there, then you go like the Mechaber sounds like, and like the Dr. Moshe says, the Pharisee says it's okay, you could just kasher. If you have a counter that has all kinds of cracks and bumps in it, then you should go like the Magen Avraham and you should cover it and you should not kasher. It's like a compromise between these two sheep. Okay, now, even though that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, there are still plenty of people, I would say most people, plenty of people who cover the counters anyhow. They cover the counters and the tables anyhow because, really, it's because of this Magen Avraham coming from Maril that says that you might have food left onto these places, that they're too hard to clean, and they might be too hard to clean, and therefore you should cover them. Now, if you look at the Magen Avraham sounds like he's not saying that you should cover it. He's saying that you should kasher it and cover it. Notice, the Shulchan Aruch says kasher it. The Magen Avraham says, wait, you might have things left into it. So now you would think the end of the sentence would empty, and therefore you should cover it. Well, what are you wasting your time kashering it for? What's the point of kashering it if you're covering it anyhow? So what's the difference? No please go between kelim. But the Magen Avraham implies that you should kasher it and cover it also, which is in fact what many people do. Okay, there are lots of people who go that far also who kasher their stuff and then cover on top of it also. Okay, and so just to understand what would be the pshat in doing both of those things. Okay, so it could be just a simple chash that people are afraid it's going to rip, something's going to spill under it. You know, if a liquid gets underneath your cover, then bleeds can transfer. Okay, so you know, if something spills under it, maybe something will spill, maybe it'll rip. I don't know what they use. It sounds like they use boards to cover it. So I don't think it's going to rip, but something could slip under it and get behind it. So they will cash on it just to be covered in case something goes wrong. Maybe that's probably the reason. Okay, if you want to be more sophisticated, something we talked about this week is the Ramah says in Tzadi Beis, he says this din that bleeds don't transfer between kelim. Bleeds can't go from one kli to another kli without liquid in between them. And the Ramah has a bunch of cases that he's talking about there. He has a whole bunch of cases in his Ramah that he says these are all things are all mutter. And at the end he says the minig is to be machmel chatchila on these bunch of things. Okay, the whole bunch of things that he mentioned, he says is a minig to be machmel chatchila. Okay, and it's a big shayla on the horn. What is he going back on? Which cases is he saying to be not do a chatchila? So there are those who read, in fact, the Makar for the Ramah is from a place which sounds like that. There are those who read that he means even on this thing, of snake kelim that are touching each other, you should not let two kelim touch each other that are hot, even though there's no liquid in between them. Okay, you could read that into the Ramah. So, as we spoke about this week, that's not accepted that you should be machmir for that l'chatchila regularly. But maybe for Pesach, that's what people have in the Chumra, that for Pesach, they'll be machmir for that sheet, for that reading of the Ramah, that the bleeds can transfer between kelim. Even that l'chatchila, you should be choshish that bleeds can transfer even without a liquid. Maybe that's what's going on.
Now, what's happened to kelim?
What you have is you have a counter.
Are you talking about
mechel kelim? The Ramah is talking about mechel kelim. But we're talking about Pesach and Chumash.
No, I don't know anybody that would do something like that.
Do what?
Kasher and cover?
No.
No, that would have what? Like two can't touch each other?
I would have a pot of Chumash on my stove and a pot of Pesach that could talk.
You mean to touch, you would not let them touch each other?
Never heard of such a thing.
Okay, so there we go. So there we go.
Why would anybody take out a Pesach and put it next to it?
No one will do that. We talk about here. You have a counter, and the counter is chametz. You didn't kasher it,
yeah.
And you put a cover on top of the counter. Okay. So now, if I put hot food onto that counter, right. So could bleah transfer from the fake counter to the real counter? I have the fake counter and the fake counter and the real counter are touching each other, but there's no liquid in between them. So can bleah transfer from one to the other? That's what we're talking about. Right. You would probably not cook both of them at the same time. But I'm saying this is our case is that you could have. Okay. So one last thing is. The Mishnah Berurah says that when it says you should do Irui, you should preferably do Irui with an Evan Lubenis. We had talked about that a few weeks ago, that you should do the Irui with an Evan Lubenis because of a chash that the thing that spilled was a double gush and these cremations. So what you do is that you pour the water, you have something hot, Evan Lubenis, a hot rock, to keep it along to get the water closer to being like a cremation. Okay, we talked about before and how you're supposed to do that. I just want to put that into perspective. Okay, just put this in perspective that here the Mishnah Berurah is saying, he doesn't say you have to do it. He talks about that there are those who hold like that, that you should be machmir to use an Evan Lubenis. Just in perspective, so people, another example, people trying to go overboard, okay, I want to just put in perspective. In your day, when the Ramah says that you have a kli, and the Mishnah Berurah sort of mentions this here, when you have a kli that usually is used in a certain way, okay, in a way that needs this level of hagol. And occasionally, mi tashmishay is for a thing that needs a higher level of agola. The ikar din is you follow rav tashmishay. You don't have to be choshes for mi tashmishay. The Ashkenazim have a chumah that will machmir for mi tashmishay. If it was occasionally used in a way that needs a higher level of agola, of kashering, then you go the higher level. So in our case, so then the Rambam says, but you should know that if being choshes for mi tashmishay will mean that you can't kasher the kli, then you don't have to. You only have to be choshes to a certain extent. If it'll mean you can't kasher the kli, then you don't have to. Okay. So then the Rambam says, I have an example of that thing, that you won't be able to do it. He says, let's say you have a table. He says, let's say you have a table. So he says, if I tell you that you're going to have to kasher it on the higher level, because occasionally a double gush falls in or something falls over and you have to kasher it, you won't be able to kasher your table. He says, so you could be soymach on Rav Teshmishai, and you just wipe it down. Not even kasher it. Just wipe it down. Just hadach of amul will be good enough. Because usually on a counter, you don't have bleas. You put a cold potato on it, or you put a pot that has no liquid. You use the way that has no bleas. That's his example of, one of his examples of saying that you could be soymach on rov tashmishay, if it's impossible to do it, is this example of a table that occasionally has spills on it, but usually doesn't have like that. So I'm going to just put that in perspective. So the Mishnah Berurah is saying that you should try to do Evan Lubenis, okay, if you're able to do that, and compare that to the Rambam says, but if you can't, if there's no way to kasher this thing, you could just wipe it down. He says, the Hadachah Ba'am, you could just wipe it down. So just to keep it in here. So it's good to try. I'm just saying this.
That works even for Pesach. Even though NBM is also in Pesach,
that's what we talked about. There's good reason to argue that maybe it doesn't work by Pesach, because the whole din of Rosh Hashanah is based on Rajba, and that's all the NBM. There's reason to say like that. That's Rabbi Shachter thinks like that. But the Shaar Tzion brings from Beis Meir that it's even works to Pesach.
I mean, anybody ever plays with the Rabbana? So.
Right. So that's part of it. This is all sort of, the best reason is a shat hatak. You're stuck. You can't be choshes for that chumrah. So that's, I guess, wrapped into it. It's a base mayor.
That's not where the chef disagrees.
He says, in logic, it doesn't make sense. That even though Ramos is in Yerodea, but it doesn't make sense in Al-Chaim to say it. And it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. It's still the Rabbana.
Right. Okay. So that's the argument back. That was the argument. We talked about this in Halachah. But by that then, there's a little shard scene that talks about this. It brings the base mayor who says, like that. Rabbi Shechter was not. But he argued, we talked about it. Okay, fine.